Maxwell's equations predicted that there could be wave-like disturbances in the electromagnetic field and that these waves would travel at a fixed speed, like ripples on a pond. When he calculated this speed, he found it to match exactly the speed of light. Today we know that Maxwell's waves are visible to the human eye as light when they have a wavelength of between 40 and 80 millionths of a centimeter. A wave is a succession of crests and troughs. The wavelength is the distance between wave crests or troughs. Waves with wavelengths shorter than those of visible light are now known as ultraviolet light, X-rays, and gamma rays. Waves with longer wavelengths are called radio waves, a meter or more, microwaves, around a centimeter, or infrared radiation, less than 1/10,000th of a centimeter, but more than the visible range. Maxwell's theory implied that radio or light waves would travel at a certain fixed speed. This was difficult to reconcile with Newton's theory that there is no absolute standard of rest, because if there is no such standard, there can be no universal agreement on the speed of an object. To understand why, again, imagine yourself playing ping pong on the train. If you hit the ball toward the front of the train with a speed your opponent measures to be 10 miles per hour, then you'd expect an observer on the platform to perceive the ball moving at 100 miles per hour, the 10 it is moving relative to the train, plus the 90 the train is moving relative to the platform. What is the speed of the ball? 10 miles per hour or 100? How do you define it? Relative to the train or relative to the Earth? With no absolute standard of rest, you cannot assign the ball an absolute speed. The same ball could equally be said to have any speed, depending on the frame of reference in which the speed is measured. According to Newton's theory, the same should hold for light. So what does it mean in Maxwell's theory for light waves to travel at a certain fixed speed? In order to reconcile Maxwell's theory with Newton's laws, it was suggested that there was a substance called the ether that was present everywhere, even in the vacuum of empty space. The idea of the ether had a certain added attraction for scientists who felt in any case that, just as water waves require water or sound waves require air, waves of electromagnetic energy must require some medium to carry them. In this view, light waves travel through the ether as sound waves travel through air, and their speed, as derived from Maxwell's equations, should therefore be measured relative to the ether. Different observers would see light coming toward them at different speeds, but light's speed relative to the ether would remain fixed. This idea could be tested. Imagine light emitted from some source. According to the ether theory, the light travels through the ether at the speed of light. If you move toward it through the ether, the speed at which you approach the light will be the sum of the speed of the light through the ether and your speed through the ether. The light will approach you faster than if, say, you didn't move, or you moved in some other direction. Yet because the speed of light is so great compared to the speeds at which we might move toward a light source, this difference in speed was a very difficult effect to measure. In 1887, Albert Michelson, who later became the first American to receive the Nobel Prize for Physics, and Edward Morley carried out a very careful and difficult experiment at the Case School of Applied Science, now Case Western Reserve University, in Cleveland. They realized that because the Earth orbits the Sun at a speed of nearly 20 miles per second, their lab itself must be moving at a relatively high rate of speed through the ether. Of course, no one knew in which direction or how fast the ether might be moving with respect to the Sun, or whether it was moving at all. But by repeating an experiment at different times of the year when the Earth was in different positions along its orbit, they could hope to account for this unknown factor. So Michelson and Morley set up an experiment to compare the speed of light measured in the direction of the Earth's motion through the ether, when we were moving toward the source of the light, to the speed of light at right angles to that motion, when we were not moving toward the source. To their great surprise, they found the speed in both directions was exactly the same.